Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It is said that the lack of communication is the death of most relationships. In fact, lack of communication can keep any relationship from even beginning. How can one start when a person is unwilling to share about themselves, what they like, perhaps their hopes and dreams or plans for the future? Without communication, there can be no real relationship. Thankfully, God is a God of clear communication. He speaks plainly to us, and he tells us everything that he wants us to know. And to make sure everyone understands, his word has been translated into different languages from across the world. And the day of Pentecost gives us a vivid picture of this happening at what we call the birthday of the church. Jesus has come to earth and he has communicated the divine truths of God to us. He did it in his teachings, his miracles, and certainly in his death and resurrection for our salvation. And now that Jesus has ascended to the Father, his work will be carried on through the church. And that work would require the ability to communicate Jesus to the world in a clear and direct manner. So here we are. It's Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus' resurrection. And all of Jesus' followers are gathered together. Who knows, some think it may be as many as 120 in a house, likely the house where they shared the Last Supper. And they are probably gathered together with some type of divine service, like we see later on in chapter 2 as they met together in fellowship and breaking of bread. And during this gathering, a special manifestation of the Holy Spirit would pour out on them. Tongues of fire rested on their heads, the sound of a great rushing wind. All of this drew people from around Jerusalem to the house. And these followers of Jesus, these apostles, were praising God very loudly. And in that praise, it consisted of all that God had done in Jesus. And miraculously, everyone in the crowd heard them speaking in their own language. How this all worked, for some reason, seems to be up to debate by scholars, but the text is clear. They began to speak in languages or tongues as the Spirit gave them the ability. And everyone in the crowd heard and understood. I think it's safe to say that this was not a special Holy Spirit language, because Luke rightly points out all of the human languages that were heard. Each one was hearing them speak in his own language, and they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not these men speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear, each of us, in his own language? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia," and on with the rest. You see, God is not a God of confusion. He does not want to create chaos. His desire is clear communication. Therefore, this is not what we see in modern charismatic circles today, for our text is talking about existing human languages, and there was no interpretation needed at all. And why is this an important distinction to make? Because faith comes by hearing the word of God. You see, the church is made up of believers like you and I. We are the church, believers in Jesus. And we believers do not exist apart from hearing the word of God. That means that if people are not told about Jesus and what he has done for them, they cannot believe it. So while the church is the people of God, it never exists apart from what we call the marks of the church: God's word and sacraments. Without the message that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, the church simply does not exist. And we see this play out in our text this morning. The crowd had gathered, and they heard and they saw miraculous things, and they were amazed. And nothing more. Only amazement. See, the people did not come to faith until they heard Peter preach the word of God to them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. This is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. So you see, Peter here, in good Missouri Synod Lutheran fashion, lays out the message in terms of law and gospel. Starting with the Old Testament, he applies Old Testament scripture to what Jesus has done. And when the people understood what God had done for them, and that they, because of their sin, bore responsibility for it, they were cut to the heart. Like rubbing salt in an open wound, they asked Peter what they must do now for relief. And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And on that day, the church grew by 3,000 baptized members. Fast forward 2,000 years, and so many are still chasing the next gimmick or method to grow their church in these types of numbers. Christian bookstores are filled with, shelves are filled with volume after volume of what the next best thing is for church growth. They mention music, coffee bars, age-specific accountability groups, comfy chairs for everyone, less liturgy, more experience. But what never gets listed in these books is what we see at Pentecost. The church grows because people hear the clear word of God. It's not a secret process. It's about communication. And God communicates to us through his word, through Holy Scripture. It worked for Peter, and it works today because God speaks in human words and sentences. Our Muslim neighbors will tell us that Allah only speaks Arabic. Well, God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, speaks all human languages. And yes, he even speaks Arabic. And so also he speaks from Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and he speaks them all very, very clearly. This is a focus of what Pentecost teaches us. Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead to give us forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. That is the gospel right there. And yes, we often need to prepare hearers with law first, just in the same way that Peter did. They must see that they are sinners in need of a Savior. They need to see that by their sins they participated in the crucifixion of Jesus, the Son of God. But once they see their sin, they are ready to hear the message that their sins are forgiven. It's a message every one of us needs to hear regularly. We also need to be reminded that we too have a Savior in Jesus. As this message is clearly communicated, the church is established. It's built up, and the church is sustained. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And today, we see that from the very beginning, from its birth in the world, The church is about the Word. The Word of God, the Scriptures, are the center of everything. It is there that we hear clearly communicated to us what God has done, that we have a Savior, and by His death and resurrection, we are forgiven. This is Pentecost. Clear communication that in Jesus, we do have the forgiveness of sins. Amen.